All right, listen up. This is Hoxton on Audio Boom. Get your ears working, people.
Hello, and welcome to episode 2 of Double Tap. I'm Alice Taplin, and this week we will be talking about the newest game in the Star Wars franchise, Star Wars Battlefront. I sat down with Corey Vincent from the Video Game Bang podcast, which of course you can find on Audio Boom, to talk more about the game that has people divided. When you first played it, what were your initial thoughts?
My initial thoughts were I was completely captivated and blown away with how they were able to capture the Star Wars universe in a first-person shooter. That part is beautiful. I love what they did with the aesthetics. When you play the game, you feel like you're playing a classic Star Wars franchise. Like, you just get that excitement. And I could totally understand why people are behind the game in that capacity.
It is unavoidable. We will witness the destruction of the Alliance and the end of this insignificant rebellion.
Soldiers of the Rebel Alliance, this is our most desperate hour. You are our only hope.
But once you start choosing your loadouts and sifting more through the menus and they drop you into the game, I really could not shake the feeling that I was playing Battlefield and not Battlefront.
And now, why do you think that they left out some of the bits like space battles and galactic conquest? Do you think they were trying to establish themselves, or do you think it was just so that they could sell more like DLC packs and expansions?
EA didn't have to try very hard to achieve a maximum result of sales. There's just a mindless wave phenomenon of people who are buying up anything Star Wars, from $40 pens to just ridiculous amounts. And then not only that, they have to not only buy it, they have to post pictures of themselves with it on Twitter and Instagram and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's just causing this hysteria where everyone has to just buy it and buy it now. I think, and it sounds like I'm a Star Wars hater, but I love Star Wars more than anything. I like my wife and my dog and stuff.
But Star Wars is like third on that list.
Yeah, it's a close third. And, if you were to take Star Wars out of the equation, remove the John Williams composition, remove the stormtroopers and replace them with generic spacemen, mm-hmm. and just call this Battlefield Space, people would be pissed off. It'd be Titanfall all over again.
For the rebellion.
Don't get in my way.
Shield up.
Maybe it's kind of almost a good example of the way things in gaming are heading. Like with Fallout, there were so many things being sold, you know, like the hats and the t-shirts and the bags and extra books. Do you think that maybe it's a good example that they're just trying to like squeeze as much money now out of people as possible?
I know that what's happening with Fallout and Star Wars is similar. I don't think they're related or a symbol of a greater movement happening. What I think happened here is that absence makes the heart grow fonder. That's mm-hmm. so true in video games. We haven't had a Fallout game for 5-7 years since New Vegas. And it's been 10 years since we've had a Battlefront game.
Mm-hmm.
How long has it been since we had a Star Wars movie, which is coming around the same time, building hype? So what's happened is we built this vacuum of content from some extremely amazing, powerful franchises that decided to come back in the same year. And we just have hysteria all over the internet. Like, I don't think you can get this kind of buzz. It doesn't happen for Call of Duty. It doesn't happen for even Halo. And, you know, they put a couple years in between development cycles. We have a 10-year gap since we've seen and the way I'm looking at that now is that that's an entire generation of gamers who really don't know the original Battlefront like a lot of us do. So they can get away with more, and then all they have is, you know, old cranky gamers like me saying, you know, in 2005 we had space battles.
Yeah.
victory will be short-lived.
See, a lot of the fuddy-duddies like me, who we were in our prime. Like, when Fallout 3 was out, that was my gaming prime. That was 7 years ago, so I was, you know, high school age. I had a lot of time to devote to it. And I just embraced the grind of that game. Like, the fact that your companions can still die and that, you know, the game was harsh to you back then, much like The Wasteland was harsh. People are just going to buy it because it says Star Wars on it.
Yeah.
10 years ago, they were still wearing diapers, so they don't really care.
Do you think that maybe they could have just waited a little while longer, like, and made it better and made it more of a full game and a game that people wanted to see, and then just released it after the film? Because I don't think that, you know, they would have lost any money doing that. People still would have bought the game.
Always, and maybe even more. I think that the film, when it comes out, it's already shattering records and pre-sale records. And I was an idiot, you know, on my phone in line buying my Fandango tickets as soon as they came out, you know, and I really try hard not to be that guy, and that was me. We're seeing just the beginning of this giant Star Wars swell that's going to get even bigger. I do think it was probably a little rushed, and that could have something to do with it. I also think, you know, EA is licensing this major, major franchise, and I know that LucasArts does police what gets put in those games. Because part of me was thinking, what would EA have even come up with if they threw a story mode in there? What would Lucas have allowed them to put in there? You know, would they have just rehashed battles we've seen a bunch of times? Would they have let them create original characters to make a campaign? Probably not, you know. So maybe it's not a fully EA's fault, but, you know, it's still, they released it. Remember when Titanfall came out, just how people hated on it so much when it came out because it had no campaign. It was an online-only game. But Star Wars gets this giant pass. And not only that, they're charging everybody twice as much if you want to buy the full game.
So do you think then that it may not have been better with a campaign, but it's just all of the other bits that they left out, like the space battles and the galactic campaigns and everything?
The thing, yeah, Battlefield 2 gave you the little option of a campaign, and but that's not what Battlefront was about. We were really playing it for that massive 32v32 land and space battles madness that was happening.
Which you don't even have 32 versus 32 in the new one anyway. There are less people, aren't there?
Yeah, they switched it. They lowered it to 20.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, but we were playing honestly for the multiplayer, but that's the attitude that I like to see in video games when something comes out and they're just throwing everything at you, including the kitchen sink, and then doing it well is the thing. Like, that was a super well-rounded game. It was moddable. I mean, the possibilities and replayability of that just seemed to go on and on and on. You never got tired of it. This should not be called Battlefront, put it that way. I wish they would have called it, you know, something else, anything else. But when you put the Battlefront title on it, you're holding it to what I feel the Battlefront brand was and the feelings it gave me 10 years ago. And I just get nothing even close to that. I'm kind of over the new Battlefront already. I played it, ran through the modes, and there's so much competition from what I feel are more complete games right now that it's not holding its own.
Your pathetic rebellion ends here.
And now it's time for this week's gaming news. Deus Ex: Mankind Divided has been delayed by 6 months. The game was previously set to launch on February 23rd, 2016, but has now been pushed back to August 23rd. In a post on its official website, Eidos Montreal head of studio David Anfossi wrote, "The game is a huge part of our lives and we don't want to compromise on its quality." X-Men: The Last Stand director Brett Ratner is producing a Tetris Origins movie. He'll be working with a screenwriter, James Packer, to create the biopic, which is based on the life of Alexei Pachitnov, the Russian video game designer and computer engineer who created the iconic video game. Ark Survival Evolved is set for release on Xbox One. The game topped the charts on Steam and was meant to be released on consoles next June, but developer Studio Wildcard explained that it was preparing for the imminent release of the game on Xbox One. Gideon Emery has a long list of characters to his name, but which was his favourite role? And what type of character does he feel most comfortable playing? Audioboom had the pleasure of interviewing the man himself at May's MCM Comic Con in London, and he answered all of these questions and more.
At 16, I saw my master die. I took up his shield and his name, and on that day, I became a crusader.
Zeus should have kept you where you belong. No matter how many gods fall, there will always be another to stand against you.
Fascinating. Gentlemen, I hold in my hand a key. And if this book is to be believed, it will open the doors of a storehouse built by those who came before.
So backstage, MCM Comic Con, I'm here with, you can introduce yourself for me, could you?
I'm Gideon Emery.
What a lovely voice. Tell me, what have you voiced? A long list of... different characters, right?
Yeah.
Where do we begin?
I suppose in terms of characters, we begin with Balthier from Final Fantasy XII. Moving on to things like Fenris in Dragon Age 2, Gideon in most recently in Call of Duty Advanced Warfare. So yeah, and I don't know, another few dozen.
Have you got a favourite role? I know you probably get asked this all the time, but is there a favourite role to play or where you're most happiest, perhaps?
Well, I'm happiest playing characters who, you know, who have some depth, and where there's if I can inject a little bit of humour. I've been quite lucky, I think. There can be some quite one-dimensional characters here and there, where they're sort of little piecemeal, you know, fellows who pop in for a minute or two. But I think for the most part, sorry, my voice is shot from meeting all the fabulous fans. But I think, when I can inject a little bit of humour and there's a bit of an eyebrow raise and, a bit of a rascal as well. So I think Balthier sort of set the tone for that with sort of his Sky Pirate, his sort of James Bond, but better.
Voice acting, I mean, some people say fairly easy. Give some tips for someone who wants to start out. It's not so easy, is it, right?
Look, I mean, you don't need a degree to be an actor. You're not saving lives being an actor. But I think something like, Comic-Con lets somebody like me, who does a lot of work on his own in a booth, not with a fellow cast members, it's, you know, most often alone. This just sort of reminds me that actually there are people who appreciate what I do, and it's really quite, you know, humbling. Voice acting is interesting because you have a much broader range to play than you would on camera, where you're defined or limited by your looks. So you can play, you know, younger or older, and, you know, that you're not limited to a type, whereas on camera, I think you can often get pigeonholed.
There's something intense as well, isn't there, about hearing a voice? Andy Serkis with Star Wars on that trailer. I mean, that went crazy when it was revealed it was him, but even just before that, just working out who it was. So does it surprise you that it has that intensity, that it's compelling?
What do you mean, the voice acting?
Just hearing, just hearing the voices and the way that people can imagine those characters. I mean, how important is it for characters that you get that voice exactly right?
Well, I mean, I think that's a hard thing to say because I think creatives have an idea, an inkling of something they want, or they're writing characters specifically for a voice, you know. I think it's nice when there's a bit of a dialogue that, you know, if somebody approaches you to, you know, read for a character, that they have an idea, but, you know, there's room for you to bring you know, some of your own interpretation to that. And it most often comes down to the writing, I think, as the starting point, you know, the jumping off point. You know, if the writing is good, then you're on your way. You know, it's very hard to rise above bad writing, which, you know, there isn't a ton of. But, yeah.
Part of what I mean is that the fans get so engaged with it as well, with the voices, and they want to meet you. And that's what I mean. It's quite... does that surprise you that it's like that? I mean, the engagement that you probably get on Twitter or through your social channels is extremely high.
Yeah. I mean, it surprised me when I was at Comic-Con, well, like 3 years ago. That was the first convention I've been to. The enthusiasm from people who are, you know, bringing out sort of little characters I'd done years, you know, earlier. And, you know, the cosplay where people come dressed as a character you voiced is, you know, incredibly flattering. And it's amazing that I wouldn't have thought, had I not seen it, the impact that, you know, characters that I've had some part in bringing to life. Obviously, I'm just the voice, you know, and the designers and animators and creators have spent a great deal of time. Bringing their end to it, so it is amazing. I am surprised by it, and I another sidebar. What I do like as well is the way people who follow animation and video games. There's also kind of a crossover with people who like genre type on-camera stuff. You know, so where I've seen people crossover from video games to like Teen Wolf. You know. So that's kind of nice and interesting for me. And then you get something like Call of Duty, where I'm doing, you know, performance capture as well. Like, you know, obviously like Andy Serkis is like the king. And it's kind of bringing the two together. So I do like the crossover.
Yeah. And what's next for you? What's in the pipeline? Anything you can reveal that you're going to be in?
Can't reveal anything these days. You've got to sign away your firstborn just to audition for things. So yeah, I can't reveal anything other than if and when it will be revealed on Twitter. I am a prolific Twitterer, and it is a small problem. But yeah, that's where you'll find it.
That's it for this week on Double Tap. Make sure to check out Corey's channel on Audio Boom, which is Video Game Bang. I'll be back next week to share a whole host of interviews with you, including ones from Pete Gold, Jessica DeChico, and Felicia Day.
Double Tap is an Audio Boom production written and presented by Alice Taplin.
This is Deucalion, and you're listening to Audio Boom. I am the Demon Wolf.